The Corinthian church was probably one of the largest, if not the largest church in Paul's day. It was growing by leaps and bounds. Many folks were excited about this new philosophy about life after death, this philosophy of the kingdom of God, that they really enjoyed the thought that that they're no longer under the burden of the law. They were excited about the fact that this man, Jesus, had come to set them free from the law. And yet, in many, many cases, that's all they were excited about, was being set free. You know, we live in this nation. It's the home of the brave and the land of the free, is it not? But, you know, freedom can be abused. And I believe freedom is being abused in our nation today. People crying and getting politicians and lawyers to represent them and taking this nation away from the moral foundation upon which this nation was founded. Homosexuals being able to, having a special, they're pushing to have their special rights. They have special rights today. Before you know it, the land's going to be full of homosexuals throughout even the little communities. Well, it's already that way. I just share that because it's amazing the way that the judges and the politicians are taking this nation away from its foundation. But in the Corinthian church, there were folks who were all wrapped up in the things of the world. They considered themselves Christians. They felt like they were Christians, and yet they felt this attitude about being set free, that they could live in the world and have a good time in the world and be involved in willful sin. And yet God's grace covered it all. When Christ poured out His blood on Calvary's cross, why, it just set them free to go and live like they wanted to. And you know, there's many in the church today that think that they can just do whatever they want to. God's grace is sufficient for me. They're like the devil. They quote scriptures that accommodate their lifestyle. They select scriptures that'll accommodate their lifestyle. And yet there are many scriptures. I mean, let me give you an example. There are professing Christians today who are living out of wedlock, and what their testimony is that as long as we love one another, God is love. God is love. And as long as we love one another, well, the Lord Jesus Christ loves us, and He knows our hearts, and we don't have to have that marriage certificate to be united and committed to one another. Well, I think the Scripture makes it clear that living outside of wedlock is fornication. That's what the Bible says. Flee fornication. But there are folks in the Christian church today that feel the same way as the folks in the New Testament church at Corinth. They feel like God has set them free so they can do just about anything they want to. But I don't believe that's true. And I believe that the Bible calls us to discipline. God calls us to be to certainly, as He set us free from the burden of the law and the bondage of the law, He set us free that we might live lives that bring honor and glory to Him. And if you look like the world, you live in the world, I can promise you, you're not going to be bringing honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was, for a very short period of time, I was a member of Victor Paul Weirwill's group called The Way International. As a younger Christian, about the age of 27, Victor Paul Weirwill taught that the Old Testament had nothing to do with the church, with the Christian church, that the Old Testament was merely for the Jews, that the Old Testament was all judgment, and that the Christian didn't have to be concerned about the Old Testament. All you needed to do was focus on the love of and the red words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you would be fine. But that's not what the New Testament teaches. The Old Testament is very valuable to you and I as Christians today. Look at chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Paul is trying to lay down some principles and trying to bring these folks who are living in the world or living and looking like the world and professing to be Christians, he's trying to bring them back into understanding and appreciation of the fact that when they gave their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit should have come in. And if the Holy Spirit didn't come in, I can tell you this, you're not saved. If you don't have the presence of the Holy Spirit living in your life, my friend, you need to make a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to come and give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to seek forgiveness of your sins and ask Christ come and take up abode in your hearts. Listen to what it says. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. I don't want you to have a lack of understanding about the Old Testament. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. I want you to notice that there's a word that appears in the first four verses of this particular text, and I'm going to read 12 verses of it, but there's a word that appears a number of times, and it appears in every verse of the first four verses. See if you can find it. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. God blessed them. God brought them out of captivity in Egypt. God opened the Red Sea that He delivered them from the sword. He's done the very same thing for you and me. He's done what does John 3:16 says? For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes upon Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God died for all. But there's a condition. There is a condition. Is there not? Verse 2 says, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Somebody tell me what that one word is there that appears in every one of those verses. Hallelujah. That's right. That's right. All of these folks were blessed by God. All of these folks were delivered by God. All of these folks were fed by God. God has blessed you in such a wonderful way. You will go home today, no doubt. I trust that each and every one of you will go home today, and you'll sit down at a table, or you'll go out to eat. And God, and by the way, if you go home and you sit down at your table and you have bread to eat, God has blessed you with that bread. God has blessed you with that bread. You ought to be rejoicing over that bread. You ought to be rejoicing that if you go and visit a restaurant today and you eat there. Some Christians say, well, you shouldn't even go out on God's day and visit a restaurant. I'm not going to beat you to death about that. I'm not going to beat you to death about that. I enjoy going and I enjoy having the liberty to go and do that. Some folks go to church on Sunday morning. Some go on Saturday. Some go during the week. God wants you to be in church 7 days a week in your heart. 7 days a week. So God hadn't blessed a few of these people. The Bible says God had blessed what? All of these people. Now, look what happens. Now, but with many of them, and by the way, the original Greek says the most of them, by the many of them, the many of them. That means the most were not, God was not happy with them. Why was God not happy with them? Why is God not happy with you? Do you think God's happy with you today? He says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now get that picture. What had God done? He brought them out. He brought them through. He brought them in. And yet, He overthrew them in the wilderness because He was not pleased with them. Why? Look at why He wasn't pleased with them. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So are the Old Testament stories and historical events important to the Christian church today? That's what verse 6 says. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. What were those things? Neither be ye idolaters. That's worshiping other things. That's having something more important in your life, focusing your attention on something more important than your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you focusing on something today that's more important to you than your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Is Christ first in your life? Well, anything, if He's not first in your life, my friend, then you are an idolater. If money is more important to you than your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you are an idolater. You may claim yourself to be a Christian. You may even be a Christian, saved by grace, on your way to heaven. But you are worshiping another god, and that's a deadly thing to be doing. says, neither be ye idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. You know what happened there, right? You remember that? Moses went up into the mountain. He was up there for a long time, and the people said, well, he's not coming back. Let's create ourselves a God of our own. Let's create a whole new program that has nothing to do with God. Let's build ourselves a new God. And so they took off all their gold and their rings and all of that, and they threw it into this burning pot. Got the high priest to go along with them, Aaron, Moses' brother. And he fashioned this golden calf, and they began to worship this golden calf. That's idolatry. That's idolatry. Let me tell you something. You can worship the new fellowship hall, and it becomes idolatry. If your whole heart and soul is centered upon whether there's a mark on the wall in the new fellowship hall, that's idolatry. And the best thing we could do is take a match and burn it down. If your concern is over the sanctuary, you know, the sanctuary needs work. We need to do some things in the sanctuary. We've done a lot of wonderful things in the fellowship hall. But I can tell you this, if there's somebody just slightly out of line or something out slightly out of line sometimes around here at the church, that has to be an issue. It's got to be an issue. Many other things too. It just seems to me that have come to the surface here, that people worship more than, it seems to me, more than their relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ and their relationship to one another. I'm brokenhearted over the way people talk, you know, about so and so, you know. They don't talk about so-and-so to so-and-so. They talk about so-and-so to them, you know, to they. And what happens is they begin to just, they light a fire. What does Paul say about the tongue? It's a fire. It's a fire. And you get people going. And boy, you can get a good storm going. And I'm telling you what, this person or that person may be a Christian, but they're being used of the devil. And what happens is this particular issue that they're so focused on becomes their idol, becomes their God, and they begin to worship that. And it becomes the center of their, just begins to burn away relationships and kill folks. That's what God says. You know, if you backbite your brother, you're killing him. You're killing him. You're killing him. Idolatry was one of those. Idolatry, worshiping something more than worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Worshiping something more than having Christ first in your life. So God says, neither be ye idolaters, or now here's, you know, I say God says because I believe this is God's word. I believe God is speaking. I believe when Paul is writing to the church, he's writing with the inspiration of God. I believe every word that he's saying is God breathed. So the word says, neither be ye idolaters, or some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. They built themselves a golden calf and they began to worship it. And God struck them dead, by the way. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 3,000. Christians committing fornication? Yes. Yes. Even today. As I've already mentioned, you know, if Christians are living, professing Christians are living together outside of wedlock, the Bible teaches that they're living in fornication. They're living there, and not only that, you know, if they have children, you know what they're teaching their children? They're teaching their children that you can live any way you want to, love God, but you can live any way you want to, and God's grace is sufficient for you. And what that tells them is this word is not important to them. This word is not necessary. It's not a necessary instrument of leadership and guidance for them. And that's sad. That's sad. And that's where many families, Christian families, are today. They don't know anything about the Bible. Neither do their children know anything about the Bible, know anything about God's word. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. They tempted Christ by wanting to throw Moses out of the way, and throw Aaron out of the way, and throw Miriam out of the way. And these leaders, these Levites, came and they said that they were gonna take over. And you know what God did? God came down in the cloud, and God opened up the ground, and so many thousand swallowed up into the ground. I tell you what, that's an eye opener, isn't it? That's an eye-opener. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Are you murmuring? Are you backbiting? And then in verse 11 it says, now all these things happened unto them for what? Examples. That's what that word means. I know it says in samples, but it means examples. All of these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. You and I, as the end of the world is approaching, are called to be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ as a body of believers. You know, each one of us has that precious gift that God uses to reach out to the lost of this world. With the light and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I can tell you this, as long as we're wrapped up and we've got other gods, we're wrapped up in fornication, we're wrapped up in any number of other things other than serving the Lord Jesus Christ, we will fail when we reach out, trying to reach out to the lost. We'll fail. Now don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting that somebody in this sanctuary right now is wrapped up in idolatry. I'm not suggesting that somebody in this sanctuary right now is wrapped up in adultery or fornication or any of that stuff. I'm just telling you this, that be careful, because the devil the phone will ring, and I can tell you this, sometimes the voice of the Christian can be the voice of the devil. Can be the voice of the devil. Has anybody called you this week and said, oh, you know what? You know what they're doing? Do you know what's happened? How do you feel about this? What do you think about that? Anybody called you this week? Have you called anybody this week? I'll tell you what. That's a sad and lonely place to be. When you have to pick up the phone and call somebody to get some fire started. God's not pleased with it. And you're not happy. You're not a happy Christian. I'll promise you, you are not a happy Christian. You're not a thankful Christian either. You're just anxious to get things stirred up in God's house. And God will deal with your soul. He will. Verse 12 says, wherefore, what? Let him that thinketh he stands take heed, lest he what? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for every member of Powhatan Free Will Baptist Church. And Father, so many times we just rejoice and we get excited, and there's so many wonderful things that we praise you for and we thank you for, Father. And then there's sometimes that we just find ourselves just week after week, one thing right after another is just unpleasing to us. Father, help us to grab hold of the fact that we belong to you, that you brought us out, you brought us through, and you're going to bring us in. And we ought to be rejoicing about that, and we ought to be giving you praise and honor and glory. And Father, for that one that Christian that might be walking adrift from thee right now, I pray for them, Father. I ask you to bless them and comfort them. Father, convict their hearts where they need conviction, Father, and bless them where blessing is deserved. Father, if there's one here this morning who doesn't know you as a personal Savior, Father, we pray that you'd just minister to them in a wonderful way. Help them to realize that the Bible says that by grace are they saved through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. That if they'll confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Father, bless, move upon that one that needs the moving of the Holy Spirit. Knock upon that heart's door. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.